Right now it is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And we have a full house in the middle studio. We have Cynthia Hans with her. Good morning, Cynthia.
Hola.
And the woman that takes terrific pictures, an artist, Nivi Judil. Annie, how are you?
Good. How are you?
You posted some incredible pictures, by the way, this week.
Oh, my God.
Thanks. Yeah, unbelievable pictures, as a matter of fact.
Well, thank you, Marshall. Did you click like, I hope?
Oh, always. Not only like, heart.
Oh, good. I like hearts.
Jill's vomiting in the other room right now.
Why don't you just tell people where you can look at these great photos? How
and
about that?
At and A13 yeah. On Instagram.
On Instagram.
Perfect.
As well.
Okay. No, seriously.
All one right. Word. ANNEDAY13.
Don't
all
forget right. The E. She hates that when you forget the E.
That's yeah. Right. All right. So now, onto the paper. And, well, there is our U.S. congressional representative.
Jahan Hayes. And so we have two articles about the 150th anniversary celebration at the Cornwall Library, which it doesn't look 150 years old. It's a very nice, spanking new modern building. We have two articles about it because it was sufficiently important, we felt, to talk about U.S. Rep. Jahan Hayes, who we all, I think, I haven't heard a single person who doesn't think she's doing a phenomenal job, and I'm super proud to have her represent me, and a nice sort of summary of what she's got going on in Washington right now.
All right. Below that, Dan Dwyer was a host interviewer at the Salisbury Forum.
Not to sound ancient, but I remember meeting Ben Brantley when I was in my 20s back in the day in New York. And I looked at that picture and I was like, oh, my gosh, he aged, too. But a really good review by Alexander Wilburn of a Salisbury Forum speaker, continuing to get really, really interesting people. And talking about learning to be a theater critic and how his career sort of came together.
Sad story right next to that. Robert Sadlin passed away at the age of 76.
Yes, it was it felt like forever, I'm sure for Carol especially, but a long time of suffering for Robert. And he had a glioblastoma. And a nice story by Caitlin Lyle about his life and his work here.
All right. and you've got Tim Abbott, gently getting rid of the voles.
Right. And it's so... if you're a gardener, it just makes your heart hurt when you read this story about the voles underground just sucking his plants down. It's like a horror movie or something. So he's talking about different ways to get rid of them. And, of course, I'm continuing in my campaign against squirrels. And if anybody wants to come trap some squirrels for practice, come on over.
You know, Kevin Bacon should do another movie about giant voles because he was in that one about the underground.
Oh, right. That's right. Not the Louis Sackar film about holes, no. Right? Something. Yeah.
Weave and Swerve, the people in the Housatonic, God bless them.
Boy, they had a great river day, though. And so we actually didn't have the full results by the time we went to press, and we have all these great pictures that Tom Brown took. So we'll have those in next week's paper.
Janet, are you there, right?
I am.
There she is.
Hi, Janet.
Here's
Hi.
Janet.
Hi, Janet.
Hi.
Our phone system was a little wacky this morning. And events for Memorial Day, you've got the full schedule of events in the paper.
Right. And, of course, it's always meaningful to go to the ceremony in your town. It's one of the nicest, old-fashioned Northwest Corner traditions. And everybody sort of, especially if you have kids, it's so ingrained in and engraved on your memory how your town celebrates. But every town celebrates differently. And definitely each service is... a little bit of a key to the personality of the town. And, of course, we'll have coverage of our six Region 1 school district towns in next week's paper.
All right. And going inside, this annual scholarship is really a scholarship that makes a difference in
that's
life.
That's a lot of money.
But it makes a difference not only, in the student that gets it and completes it. It sends them out to make a big difference in the world.
Right. It's the Margaret Derwin Scholarship from the Berkshire Taconic Community Foundation. And, you know, we have a lot at this time of year. You see these lists of really outstanding young people getting $1,000 here and $1,000 there, and that's really helpful too. But this is a $105,000 scholarship to be used for college studies. And Valerie Lennis, who I think was in the paper like three times last week, she's just one of those kids that's doing everything and doing it beautifully.
All right, we will. And I read the story. Very interesting. The Salisbury Republican Town Committee is back in a big way. They get some impressive people that they have.
There's a guy called Tom Morrison who's running it, and he's just very businesslike. And people may or may not remember, but there was a moment when there was a schism in the Salisbury Republican Committee where there was a group that wanted to go more national and more hardcore and more I think they were calling it Tea Party at the time, and a group that was more like old-fashioned New England, kind of like everybody's got to get along, and we need some Republicans and we need some Democrats, but basically we are all pretty centrist. So that was a hard moment. They actually dissolved the town committee, and it's back together, and as you said, getting some really impressive people on there.
All right. The Kent budget passed in their May 17th vote.
Yes, and I went to that meeting, and I'll tell you, this is something we say every year, and Elise Sadler had been covering the budget workshops through the season for us. And if you don't go to the budget workshops, it's very confusing to figure out what's going on, even though Kent does a beautiful job of presenting the information in their budget paperwork that they hand out. And there was somebody who stood up at the meeting who I guess stands up every year and says, I think we should vote on every single item individually. Well, there's, you know, 565 items in that budget, so that's not going to happen. But this is just a reminder to people, come to your budget workshops because they want you to come and they want you to comment and they want to explain it to you, but they don't want to do it at the town meeting.
All right. I passed something on that I wanted, an ad that is actually a news story. And that is a very well and worded placed ad by Sharon OBGYN.
Very interesting, right?
It tells you that they're here, and they're taking new patients, and they're here for indefinitely, which means they're here until the hospital decides for them not to be here.
Well, they'll always be here. It's just a question of whether they can deliver babies at Sharon Hospital or not. But that's really the blue ribbon medical practice in this area, in my opinion. They're really fantastic. And this is not, don't take it for granted that you're always going to be able to get into that practice. This is a good moment. And if you need that kind of care, go for it now.
North Canaan, the asphalt plant, the fight continues, and this fight is going to be a lot like the Lime Rock fight.
It's going to go on.
It's going to go right up the line. Yeah.
Right, and Janet does a very good job of sort of boiling it down to its essence in her editorial this week. But essentially, there are two things going on. There's a zoning issue that is so complex and so interwoven that I won't even try to explain it. And in fact, you'd almost have to go back to our website, tricornernews.com, and sort of follow the whole history of why people are recusing themselves from the vote and who's challenging who, because it's complicated enough just to explain what happened at that meeting. But Lila Hawken, our reporter, went and was really stunned and unhappy about the fact that people were very rude to each other and to the attorney for Ben Metcalf there and were shouting him down. And she really felt like in New England democracy, she hadn't really seen that happen before, and it was discouraging to her.
Disgraceful is what most people that I've heard that went to that thought it was absolutely horrifying.
Yeah, but of course, most people who went were the ones that were doing it. So
I'm talking of people that we sent to media coverage.
Right, But, still, I think that people aren't necessarily aware of how it looks when they do that and of what they're doing. And so everybody should definitely stand up for what they believe. But it is nice in our area when we can do it in a more gentle way.
All right, in Cornwall, there was just a slight uptick in the mill rate when they voted there.
This is a pretty quiet budget year, and it's never an easy budget year. But as Bruce Adams said at Kent, he said, it's not a perfect budget. We haven't had a perfect budget yet, but it's pretty good and it's pretty fair. So I think you can say that about all the budgets in the region this year.
All right. Now, another story about the Cornwall Library, about what's going on there.
Right, and a lot of it is about the building of this beautiful new, super airy and light library building, and sort of where the library had traveled to over the years in town, and how the town of Cornwall, which is not a big town, raised enough money that they had some money left for an endowment. So they are secure moving into the future, although, of course, all our libraries always want your support.
All right. A nice story about the Standard Space with the young artists from Region 1.
We have some very generous art gallery owners in the area, and one of them, of course, is Theo Colombe, who invited the Region 1 elementary school artists in. That show used to be at the Interlaken for many years, which is also very generous of them. But Standard Space is a gallery, and it's set up as a gallery, and you have professional gallery owners setting up the art, and it looks really great. So Jana Siller went, and the art teachers chose a couple pieces from each class, and the show unfortunately is closed already, but do support Standard Space, because what a nice thing for them to have done.
And we hop over because Blue and Gold at the White went on again with a couple of big winners.
Speaking of our generous gallery owners, Tino Galuzzo and John Borden, the realtor whose office had been so long in that building next door, which his family had owned, gave a very generous scholarship to these artists, or prize money, I guess. So those artworks sold. 80% of the $100 sale price went to the artist, and 20% went to Housatonic Valley Regional High School Arts Programs.
All right. We'll move on to Trade Secrets.
Trade Secrets is always a big deal. And they had great weather this year, which doesn't always happen. It was really a particularly beautiful day. But, of course, we'd had so much rain that it threw a little bit of a damper, so to speak, on the parking situation. But in a way, you know, it's always complicated, the parking and the cars going in and out of there. And in some ways, I think it might have broken up some log jams. But I understand that people didn't buy as many plants because it just seemed too hard to
go back and forth. Yeah,
yeah,
it was. But you know what? They did what they had it. The show must go on.
The show must go on. And it's always a nice fundraiser and beautiful gardens and a very photogenic event.
All right. Lime Rock story there. Welcoming summer on a hill by the track.
So Cordelia Schiller, one of our young reporters who used to be an intern. And if you're out there and you're a high school student or a college student and you'd like to intern at the Lakeville Journal, please do. And the proof that it's fun is that our young reporters come back and continue to work for us as Cordelia does. And she wrote a very poetic, nice little story about the first community day at Lime Rock Park. Mm-hmm. And as you say, this is one of those antagonistic situations that's been going on for years. And the track is really trying to reach out to the community and say, hey, you know, there's a lot going on here that you would like if you would just stop being so angry about it. Of course, a lot of legitimate concerns on the part of the public as well, but hopefully a chance for people to, like an AFS program, get to know each other a little better.
All right. Another couple stories on disc golf and the amazing race locally.
We actually, these are actually events from last week, but the disc golf course in North Canaan actually starts over by Caddyshack, where we should all be going for our hot dogs now that the season begins, harbingers of the summer season.
And our soft serve.
And they have soft serve. And onion rings. And so they had a nice little, they had a qualifying tournament where people, you know, some of the best disc golfers in the region came. And disc golf is a game where you have to throw a frisbee basically at a tree and have it drop into a basket. And all the competitors kept saying, there's an unusually large number of trees here. And so, of course, Tom Zetterstrom, who was there and has been a big supporter of this, was super happy about that because he is the tree guy.
All right, and Sharon lost another historic name this past week with the death of George Holtz Gruby, whose services will be this weekend. You team that with Lauren Tyler and
everybody on this week's Obits page is a super important person to the region. We don't have, by the way, the obituary for Robert Sadlin yet. I think it's just been a little too much for them to. It's just too hard right now, but there will be. But not to be morbid, but obituaries, in a sense, are a type of news story, and every single one of these is a fascinating life, and they're all really beautifully written by the families. Don Hewitt, a huge supporter of education in the region, and a beautifully written obit by his family. George Holtz Gruby, fascinating life, a person that you really knew, and you know their beloved daughter Allison has always been such a big part of Sharon's life, and I think, you know, that was a very tight family unit, so that's a huge loss.
It's one thing I found as being in radio and having to report on this is the one thing I always dread, because when you're I'm from the area, so I know all these local families, and it's just one of those things I dread when you have to report on it.
Yeah, all obituaries are hard, but it's extra hard when you know the family and you know the suffering that's going on.
Let us go to the opinion page. Good morning, Janet.
Hello.
Recovery, no matter what the final outcome, will not be easy in North Canaan.
Right, and this is related to the story that you and Cynthia were talking about in North Canaan on the question of hot asphalt. And it's been an ongoing conversation, it's been a discussion, and it's become really uncivil as far as how it's been discussed up until this last meeting we reported on last week. And, you know, it's been a process, and people feel very strongly about it, and they should feel very strongly about it. There's no reason not to have passion about things you care about, and when it's in your community, it's not just political, it's personal, and it can be very difficult. So we talk about that a bit, and, you know, the decision at that meeting was that the asphalt would not be allowed. It would, it should not be produced there. It can still go up for appeal. So this will, as I think you mentioned, probably go on. And no matter the outcome, it has affected North Canaan. So, you know, read the editorial and think about it, and think about your town.
Lots. Once again, people are involved. Lots of different letters about lots of different things, but also your viewpoint page. I like the story. He's a Yankee Doodle Donald.
Yes. You know, Dick Ollis was away for a while and has come back and is writing every other week for us, and we can always depend on him to come up with an interesting take on current events, often giving us some history along the way. So, yeah, do read Dick Ollis. And from Charles Church, we have the second part of a really interesting piece on the 9/11 defendants and those who remain in Guantanamo Bay. And, you know, this is ongoing. We don't hear much about it in the news. He's an expert on it. He's one of the attorneys representing a defendant there, a detainee at Guantanamo. I won't try to say his name, but it is in Charles's bio at the bottom. And it's fascinating. So if you didn't read the first part, pick it up at tricornernews.com. It's open to everybody. And read this. And we, of course, have Tom Shachman, who is going to be speaking on this topic at the Hotchkiss Library of Sharon on June 9th. The phony war. It's fascinating. Fascinating history.
Now, what I really like, I like a comic that makes you think, and Peter Steiner's comic that makes you think, and it's great. I love it.
And yeah, Peter,
you know,
also
it doesn't always make you, you know, when you think, you don't always laugh, yeah. But this time, yes, once you think about it, you certainly do.
Yeah, but now, before we get to the big section, I want to go back on the last page here. Horsepower Fuels Full Circus Farm.
Yes, it's the last in our CSA series by Janice Siller, and also we're getting ready to finish up our Farm to Table special issue, which will be out and about in the papers, but also it'll be distributed on and newsstands. It'll be available at different farm stands and markets around the area. And I'd like to point out that Peter Steiner also is appearing in the area on June 1st. I can't remember.
At the Hotchkiss Library.
Hotchkiss Library.
He has an exhibit.
He's an interesting guy. People don't realize he just doesn't do cartoons, folks.
He writes great books.
Yeah, amazing, amazing. All right, ladies and gentlemen.
Dun, dun, dun,
back for the big show and day with Compass.
Okay, we have a big story about the Berkshire International Film Festival, which is opening next week with The Portrait of Pauline Kael, a documentary about the great New Yorker critic Pauline Kael, who really defined criticism in the second half of the 20th century. And some of the interesting things that come out in this film are, one of the great quotes is that great criticism, a good critic isn't there to have you agree with them. It really was her take on films, and people either agreed with her or they didn't. But the most important thing that came out of this film is, there's a quote from a Vanity Fair writer saying, she turned the movie review into something as expressive as a short story or a sonnet. And it was really her writing and her style and her absolute love of cinema that this film captures. So this is the first film of the festival. And also, just as an aside, which I'll mention next week, is that Martin Scorsese is the honored guest this year. So it's going to be a big, fabulous event. And they're celebrating their 17th anniversary. It's gone from one theater and like 20 films to 200 films in three theaters. So it's a really very important film festival, becoming more and more so. We also have, not to forget, there's a concert next week at Hotchkiss. The Hotchkiss Orchestra and Jazz Ensemble will be performing, actually not next week, tomorrow on May 24th at 7 o'clock at the Elfers Hall. And it's always a beautiful thing to listen to Right Brain Logic, which is their jazz ensemble, and the orchestra, which is conducted by Fabio Witowski, and they will be performing symphony works by Rossini, Rimsky-Korsakov, and Saint-Saëns. I forget how to say it. We also have a book review by Sophia Kaufman, who's been really she's young and she's smart, and I love having her take on books and movies. And I gave her a book to read about marijuana, which is written by a New York Times reporter, called Tell the Truth, Tell Your Children the Truth About Marijuana, Mental Illness, and Violence. And this writer's contention is that nobody ever talks about the connection between marijuana and violence. And I must say I was surprised to even hear of that connection, because it's not something I think of. But read the review. Sophia has her own thoughts about it, and I'm not sure she agrees with him on everything. But in any case, it's something to discuss. And then we have calendar with lots of great events. This calendar is getting more and more packed. We have a new exhibit of Helen Cantrell at the White Gallery. That opens tomorrow night from 5 to 8 p.m. That's Friday night. We've got a really good show at Hotchkiss, which I'm hoping to write about next week, called Chicks with Guns. It's a photographic exhibit of women who own guns and use guns. The pictures are maybe almost too pretty when you think of what they're about. But in any case, it's a show worth seeing. How many more seconds do I have?
We've got time.
Oh, okay. Well, basically what I just want to talk about is the calendar. So we also have a really good show at the Re-Institute. And let's see, what else do we have? Sorry, I thought I'd be finished by now.
Oh. That's all right.
Oh, the other new thing is that Sarah Blodgett, who's an area photographer, moved to Ithaca about 10 years ago when she married a guy who's a fabulous clown who lives in Ithaca. She has come back to the area just part-time, but she's opened a gallery which will be featuring her bird photography. And she does beautiful nature stuff, mainly pictures of birds. And it's called The Birdhouse, and it's on Salmon Kill Road in Salisbury. And if you go to their website, which is sarahblodgett.com, you'll find the hours. It's open at kind of random different hours, so you should go to their website. And let's see, what else? There's a 14th Colony art show at Noble Horizons, which I saw last night, and it's terrific. And that's all I can say.
You know, you look at the conference, though, and just how lucky we are. You've got the Norfolk Music Festival, which goes on every year now, and the art that's there. Then you flip over, you have Bard Summerscape.
Yeah,
and we have Music Mountain, which is amazing.
Yeah. I mean, how
in the Playhouse?
How lucky right. are we?
I have, and so many things are just starting up now. It's so exciting.
Sharon Playhouse is about to. Oh, sorry, Janet.
Yeah. Oh no, okay.
Sharon Playhouse is about to open their new season, which will be fantastic.
It's just
60th anniversary.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing what we have here, and the international talent that comes in through all these venues. And performs for us. But you know, but the Berkshire International Film Festival, there's a movie that Burt Reynolds did, the last movie he ever did.
I love Burt Reynolds.
The Last Movie Star. It is about a movie star who's invited to a film festival, but it's a small little film. But it's about his life as well.
That's very meta.
And it's unbelievable. If you like Burt Reynolds and you want to follow, that's a great story about film festivals. Burt Reynolds and
is it fiction or is it documentary?
It's based off his life, not all of it, but it's based off his life.
I love him.
And it's an amazing, that came out of a film festival, and those are the type of films you find at film festivals.
Yeah,
and we're lucky to have the BIFF in our area.
Well, that BIFF thing's just growing and growing, and more really important film people are attracted to it.
Absolutely. And we're really lucky around here. All right, thanks, guys. Now we're going to speak to you guys next week after the big holiday.
That's right. We'll be exhausted, but we'll be here.
All right.
Yeah, there'll be all kinds of Memorial Day events in the paper.
All right, we'll speak to you guys next week.
Thank you so much.
All right, that is This Week in the Lakeville Journal. Of course, we air this every Thursday live on Robin Hood Radio, and you can hear it on the web whenever you want at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on This Week in the Lakeville Journal, and you can find the Lakeville Journal not only on newsstands at home delivery, but also on the web, drycornernews.com, and on Facebook.